Thank you for spending another midweek moment with the Wisconsin Property Taxpayers. I'm Paul Roszewski. Today is Wednesday, October the 17th, 2025. Thanks for checking in. Before we look at some headlines, let's look at the week ahead. I love it that today is Constitution Day and Citizenship Day in the United States. I cordially invite you, celebrate continuously. On a funny note, today is also National School Backpack Awareness Day. My guess is that everyone is aware of the existence of school backpacks, so Awareness Day is completely unnecessary. Even better is this explanation. Celebrate the day by becoming aware of the weight of your backpacks, suitcases, briefcases, and purses, and about the harm that heavy bags can cause. This is a great example of what we already know. Don't even have the words to express how blessed we are to live in this time and place, that there are people that are sounding the alarm bell as if this is concerning, the source of harm that humans face in the natural world from bags. You just can't make this stuff up. Also, want to offer this thought because Saturday is Locate an Old Friend Day. However you celebrate, please celebrate responsibly. In this episode, we dig into some heavy topics. Meetings and schedules kept me from recording a midweek moment last week Wednesday, which was also the day that Charlie Kirk was assassinated. I look at some of the aftermath of that now that we're a week removed, which hopefully can give us a little perspective since we're in such a connected, hot take, knee-jerk reaction culture. We also look at the irony of how time and circumstances can cause people to completely flip-flop and change their stances on issues. And we give some updates and context to the quickly crowded race for governor of Wisconsin. Since this already looks like a longer than normal episode, we bypass our trivia question on this week's quote and let's jump right into some news together. Starting off, let's jump right into the deep end, away from decency and into politics, which is a topic I love commenting on because I get to unload uncomfortable truths at both sides of the aisle. Personally, it will bother me when I see messages that assume the motivations and the intent of politicians. Like I've said in the past, I'm on the newsletters and mailing lists of both statewide political parties, multiple state senators on both sides, multiple state representatives on both sides, and I'm not going to back down that rabbit hole, but I will say that I've observed the left utilizing this tactic more than the right will, partially because last election season I was literally getting 5 to 6 Democrat emails for every Republican email. So maybe it's an equal ratio of tactic per email sent. I don't know. But one example that always stuck with me was a fundraising email I saw that talked about when Ron Johnson voted against the Big Beautiful Bill earlier this year. It was said that he didn't vote no because it would take health care away from people. He voted no because it wasn't cruel enough, implying that the more cruel something is, the more he would support it. To me, it's a dirty shot. Fast forward to a few days ago when Senator Kelda Royz announces her run for governor of Wisconsin. It's the Monday after the assassination of Charlie Kirk and the conversations around political polarization, the need to tone down rhetoric, demonizing people for their beliefs, all that. Well, one of her campaign ads that was posted on X says, quote, "As extremists attack our freedoms while families struggle to get by, we're fighting back together," unquote. Which prompts a response from the Wisconsin College Republicans. They reply to that post saying, quote, after a radicalized leftist Democrat killed Charlie Kirk in cold blood, they're calling us extremists. This is unacceptable. Pause here. First, what was said in Kelderoy's ad uses words like extremists that we might be more sensitive to now than we were a month ago when the ad was written. But fighting back for people isn't a new or aggressive position. As far as the response, definitely a reaction post, which also has dramatic language to emphasize the point. Definitely, it's not de-escalating anything. Okay, so the reply, it goes on. Not only is this a tone-deaf ad and unbecoming of a gubernatorial candidate, pause again right here, that right there, I consider a great, strong take because it attacks the ad, number one, and it doesn't attack her personally, but in the context of being able to be a good governor, it calls her into question. I would consider that, again, a quality shot from politically pretty intelligent. But spoiler alert, unfortunately, the post goes on. And I'll read the final sentence in its entirety. Quote, not only is this a tone-deaf ad and unbecoming of a gubernatorial candidate, it is deeply sick and evil. Unquote. Seriously, deeply sick and evil. In the criticism of rhetoric that can be potentially irresponsible and inflammatory and polarizing, you use that. A similar tone like the word extremist, but then up the ante by saying deeply sick and evil. I don't think I've seen a better example of the pot calling the kettle black in quite a while. And in reality, I have zero shreds of hope that any of this is going to even remotely slow down anytime in the near future, or heck, I even hope in my lifetime. In other news, let's take a quick look at an interesting turn of events for Chris Taylor. She is running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. She's currently an appeals court judge. But before that, she was elected to serve in the state assembly. She was one of the lead sponsors when she was in that body of government, and likely one of the authors of a bill that would force a judge to recuse themselves if the judge is related to any of the lawyers or plaintiffs or was involved or a material witness has any significant financial gain in a case that was in front of them. Sounds reasonable to me. And that's not even the best part. It gets even better. Here's the actual legal analysis of the next part of that bill. Quote, this bill requires a judge to disqualify himself or herself from an action if, as a candidate for judicial office and within the past 4 years, the judge received campaign financial support of $1,000 or more from a party to the action. The bill specifies that the financial support includes campaign contributions, independent contributions made on behalf of the judge, and independent contributions made against the judge's opponent. Unquote. That would be fascinating. Does that mean that a judge would have to recuse themselves if they're on the Supreme Court and they're hearing a case where the governor is being sued, or is the plaintiff against the legislature? That'd be fascinating because both sides of the aisle have been on a bunch of lawsuits against each other. Anyway, I'm digressing. That bill was proposed in 2015. Fast forward 10 years when the total spending on the Wisconsin Supreme Court race was over $100 million. Well, the politics reporter for the Journal Sentinel wanted to know what Chris Taylor thought about that idea now. And credit where credit is due, this blatant act of journalism was by left-leaning reporter Dan Bice asking accountability questions of a Democrat. As Bice put it in his article, quote, asked those questions, Sam Rocker, a spokesman for Taylor, skirted the issues, unquote. Ah, there's a shocker. In my opinion, she has an opportunity here to be just straightforward and address the issue. To me, it's simple. A majority of people would probably agree that this recent development of obscene money in judicial races is concerning. And while a law like this maybe isn't necessary because judges take their job seriously and do it integrity, blah, 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 I can spin the answer, but a law like this could reinforce a standard of accountability and trust that we want to hold judges to, whether we need it or not. Unfortunately, it seems like attack ads win elections. But I also think that whoever takes this position of just owning the issue first will have a strategic advantage moving forward. And for Taylor, she'll have to do an about take since the title of the article Dan Bice wrote was, quote, "Liberal Supreme Court candidate Chris Taylor ditches her own recusal plan," unquote. It's a pretty good one. And finally, a quick governor's race update. The Republicans still stand at 2.5 candidates in the race. Josh Shulman and Bill Berrien, and I count Tom Tiffany as half because his candidacy is pretty much assumed by media and political circles alike. Everyone's just waiting for it to be official. Where the updates come in is that Sarah Rodriguez announced her candidacy weeks ago, and David Crowley announced his candidacy as of last week. This week, Kelda Royce and Francesca Hong both also announced their candidacy. These four candidates make for a crowded field of Democrats. Ryan Sternad announced his candidacy weeks ago also. He is the fifth Democrat candidate for governor. And since he is a longtime beer vendor at American Family Field, I will use a Major League Baseball reference as an analogy. Winning your division in baseball is like winning a primary election. Sometimes it's really competitive and sometimes it's not. And winning it gets you into the next level of competition, either the playoffs or a general election. The unfortunate reality for Mr. Sternad is that elections are mainly name recognition, popularity contests influenced by fundraising and luck and connections. Right now, his candidacy is kind of like a major league team that's 10 games below 500 in the middle of August. It hasn't been mathematically eliminated from winning the division, but there's a logjam of teams at AU that are stiff competition. On paper, you're not eliminated, but the cold hard truth is that you're not realistically in the hunt. And finally, if this or any of the episodes are worth sharing with others, I do ask if it's informative, if it'll educate, if it will inspire, please do just that. Share it on any of the socials that you happen to go on, like FaceTube or InstaSnap or any of the other platforms that suck you down rabbit holes. And since this episode is, in fact, on the longer side, I'm going to go right to a quote from the OG. The original gangster, and I've heard some great arguments that this is the most important man in the history of our great nation, because without him, we wouldn't have won the Revolutionary War or coalesced around a form of government that is the foundation to the free society we have today, none other than George Washington, who said this about the importance of our courts. "The due administration of justice is the firmest pillar of good government. The first arrangement of the judicial department is essential to the happiness of the country and to the stability of its political system." Have a great second half of your week, and as always, thanks for listening. Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Inc. is a nonpartisan membership organization consisting of thousands of small business, farm, and homeowner members in every autumn color-loving corner of the state. Founded in 1985, the organization is committed to providing its members with up-to-date information, legislative advocacy, and exclusive cost-saving benefits. Find out how to join at wptonline.org/join.